The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, we find a strange mix of life as usual, where business is carrying on, and then things are kind of not quite so usual with the pandemic in the background. But one of the kind of business as usual things that happened yesterday was this a disaster that was averted at Ben Gurion Airport, when American Airlines flight from Miami managed to make a safe landing after reporting that they had a punctured tire before landing. Mm. And there were hundreds of rescue workers and dozens of ambulances that were brought to Ben Gurion Airport ahead of this landing, in the fear that there might be some casualties. Fortunately, in the end, everything worked out well. There was apparently a flat tire, but the airplane seemed to be able to land safely. No damage, no injuries. Everything was averted. All disaster was averted in the end. And you know, this is kind of, when I say business as usual, I mean, some people are thinking, is there any real international travel that's going on there? And you know, in some places there is still quite a lot of international travel, nowhere near as much as was the case before the pandemic. But certainly there is a certain element of international travel going on. And of course, we've got a change of leadership coming up in Iran. The new president, Ibrahim Raisi, is due to take office. He's due to be endorsed today by the outgoing, by the supreme leader, the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He's due to endorse the new president. And apparently there will be an international ceremony on Thursday, with the attendance of dozens of international dignitaries, 10 presidents, speakers of parliaments, foreign ministers, other ministers, including representatives of the European Union, which seems very, very strange under the current circumstances. But it's interesting to watch what will happen in Iran. There is a view that the new president is harder line than the outgoing one. I guess time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, it's just incredible the farce that continues there, and that has been going on for so much time. You wonder what it'll take for something to give.
You do wonder, and you know, as I said yesterday, expressing my frustration that, in spite of the fact that all evidence is placed plainly before the international community about the extent to which Iran is simply ignoring agreements, making deals and then simply ignoring them, and not being held to account for ignoring, you know, particularly, you know, obviously I have in mind the nuclear agreement that was entered into. I mean, simply ignoring what was agreed there with no consequences. And I don't understand how this can be allowed to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Appalling. Really, really just appalling. All right. Israel is having to take further, more stringent actions to stem the rising number of people infected by COVID. What is the latest situation?
Well, we heard Dr. Meyerberg talk about the fact that even people who have been vaccinated can potentially contract and also spread the Delta variant. I know that he mentioned that this is information that was due to be released by the CDC. This is information that we have felt in our everyday existence here in Israel, where so many people have been vaccinated and yet the Delta variant has spread. Now, a new record reached in the current wave of corona infections, more than 3,000 people, new cases diagnosed yesterday. Increasing. We only hit 2,000 a few days ago. Late last week, we were talking about 2 or 3 days when 2,000 new cases were diagnosed. Now we're up to 3,000. That's another 50% increase within the space of less than a week. So we're definitely feeling the increase, more people in hospital, more people seriously ill, in spite of the fact that so many people have been vaccinated. And as I mentioned yesterday, now rolling out the third dose of vaccine in order to try to stem this tide. The government announcing that even though over 60s are currently being vaccinated with their third dose, that very, very soon, potentially even within another few days, the the clinics will be open to people of a younger age group in order to present themselves for the third dose in order to somehow try to stem this tide. It's not about the fact that this third dose has anything different in it than before. I think that this is just trying to address the possibility that the vaccines that had been administered earlier in the year are simply less effective because of the time that has passed, and that these boosters will just simply strengthen the antibodies that already exist, but in just lower forms because of 6 months having passed already since the vaccinations were administered, in an attempt to somehow try to boost the immune system. Problem is, as we heard, that even vaccinated people seem to be able to contract this Delta variant and also pass it on. So the question is whether this third dose of vaccine will in fact have the desired effect. And of course, lurking in the background is the Lambda variant, which is currently labeled a variant of interest by the World Health Organization rather than a variant of concern. But we've seen that it is spreading like wildfire in South America, and it is only a matter of time before it will be coming to our shores as well, and to the shores of Europe and other places. And this is also considered to be a variant that is more resistant to vaccines and also very, very highly infectious indeed. So as Israel's health minister Nitzan Horovitz said, we are going to have to learn to live with this pandemic rather than to think that we're just going to overcome it and get to the other side and continue with our lives as they were before because we are just finding more and more variants and more things, which is causing a setback. And we're just going to have to find a way somehow to function while fighting the pandemic all at once. And, you know, we certainly see this in Israel because, you know, people are finding it very, very difficult to roll back to what was before. There is talk about a possible lockdown, even maybe over the Chagim. People have been asked to wear masks indoors. There is now consideration to require people to wear masks outdoors again and to have masks on at functions outdoors and things like that. The problem is that once we've kind of smelt and tasted a little bit more freedom, to then go back to what was before is enormously difficult, and I think the authorities are finding it very, very difficult to police, to enforce these restrictions being put back in place. And one has to say that it seems very logical and even required that masks are being worn again and that we maintain social distance and go back to all the things that we learned before, even though those requirements have been somewhat eased in Israel over the past few months. Going back to them is enormously difficult, and I'm not quite sure how we as a society are going to cope with this now re-emergence of these variants, which require us to go back to being a lot more careful. And the government have even suggested that they're going to go back to working from home to try to encourage government ministries or require government ministries to have 50% of their staff complement working from home, and other private companies to let people work from home to the extent that they're able to do so. So we're kind of rolling things back a little bit. And I know that this is concerning not only for Israel, but for other countries who are watching from a distance and seeing what we're going through, who are a little bit behind the curve in terms of what we're experiencing.
Yeah, it's a very real concern, because the one bit of hope that we have is to look at countries like Israel, where life is back to normal, but then all of a sudden it isn't. I'm just not convinced that it is, that it's as necessary given the number of people vaccinated, meaning that people might get sick. And I think we might reach a stage where we say, well, if we do have herd immunity and people have been vaccinated and they do get ill, well, isn't it therefore maybe just a little bit more like a serious flu, given that hospitalizations are very, very rare if you've been vaccinated? And I don't know what the answer is. I'm just hoping that that is a conclusion that one day we'll reach on this.
I think that what we're finding is that even though hospitalizations are lower for people who've been vaccinated, and we find that their stay in hospital is a shorter stay and they're more likely to recover. Mm. We are nevertheless feeling more of a strain on our medical system again, back again to more people in hospital, and there are concerns that we may well overload the medical system once again and the hospitals may become full. And instead of waiting until it's too late, we need now already to try to prevent that situation from happening where people are, you know, sleeping in corridors and things like that because there aren't enough beds. So, you know, it's a question of trying to take action before this situation arises rather than to react to it when it happens.
The Israeli High Court is trying to broker an out-of-court settlement for the Arab families who are on the verge of being evicted from their homes in East Jerusalem. What is the deal that's being proposed?
Okay, this is a very emotive story, and the international press have tended to pick up just little sound bites in order to try to present Israel in a negative light in the, in the international press. And it is a story that's been rolling for some time. So just to remind people what the background to the story is, this is a story that goes back to pre-1948, when properties in East Jerusalem were owned by Jewish organizations. And then during the 1948 War of Independence, people who were living in those properties in East Jerusalem, the Jews were forced to flee as a result of that particular area of Jerusalem being taken over by Jordan. And Jordan, obviously, as the country that ruled over East Jerusalem during that time, also had the right to do as they wished, or exercised the right to do as they wished with those properties. And what they decided to do was they decided to house refugee families in those properties. So they encouraged certain families to move from refugee camps and go and take over those properties. Nothing was done at that time to change the ownership of the properties, which still vested with those owners who were there registered before the state was declared in 1948, even though in court it has been claimed that certain actions were taken just prior to the 1967 war to try to somehow register those properties in the names of the families that were living there when the 1967 war broke out. But as it turns out, obviously, Jordan was dispossessed of that piece of Jerusalem, and it came back under Israeli ownership. And those Arab families who were living there pre-1967 continued to live there even until the current day. The issue is that the company that now represents the owners of the properties, the Jewish owners of the properties, has come back to try to reclaim those properties. The Arab families have continued to live there since the days after the 1948 war. No rental has been paid. They do not acknowledge that ownership vests in the names of the company, of the people who own the property pre-1948. So the court has come up and said, look, why don't we try to reach a compromise solution? You guys, you families, four families are now in court representing really a whole bunch of other families, I think 28 all in all, but there are four families who are currently in court, and the courts have, the judge has actually come forward and said, we don't want to rule to evict you, because that's what's going to happen if we make a ruling. Two courts have already said, you guys do not own this property, you are not paying rent, get out and don't live there anymore because you have no right to do so. So the court, instead of saying that, has said, why don't we try to give you lifetime protected tenancy on the property in exchange for an annual payment, which is really symbolic of 1,500 shekels. The problem is that the families don't want to accept this because they feel that this would then dispossess them of their right to claim ownership of those properties as a result of having lived there for so long. And we're in a situation where there's a standoff, no compromise has been reached, but obviously it's a lot more complicated than international press or many of the international press wish to present.
And so it continues. It has gone 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, we'll catch you tomorrow morning. Thank you as always.